You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 7th of April. Number one versus number two. Devin Booker versus Donovan Mitchell. Chris Paul and Mike Conley match up yet again. Monty Williams and Quinn Snyder. Rudy Gobert and DeAndre Ayton. This is awesome, and this is Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan. It is the Utah Jazz. It is the Phoenix Suns. It is a monster matchup tonight. 8 o'clock start, Ron Boone and I on the call on radio, local TV broadcast as well, or you can listen to the national guys who know nothing about your team. I don't even know who's calling the game for ESPN, so that's not fair. All right, this is what it's about. Like, let's just get right to it. The Jazz have the number one differential in the NBA. They're the number one team at 11.7. Phoenix is number two at 7.6. They got the second best, got the best record. Versus the second best record. Jazz are the number one offense. Phoenix is the number seven offense. Jazz are number two defense. Phoenix is number five defense. Jazz are second best team defending the shot, or best team in the league defending the shot. They're the fourth best. We're the second best shooting team. They're the sixth best. They don't turn it over. We get offensive rebounds. They kind of force turnovers. We don't at all. We don't allow offensive rebounds. We don't foul. They do some because they're aggressive. And then if you look at it most recently, even more recently, you go to January 29th when they clicked in. Phoenix starts the year 8-8. They lose to the Oklahoma City Thunder. They lose a double overtime game to Denver. They lose an overtime game to Denver. They lose a four-point game to Memphis. They're like in this stretch. They've lost three of four. They're kind of reeling. They've actually lost four of five. They get blown out by Washington. They've lost close games. They cannot figure out how to win a close game. Like, they open the year. They lose to Sac by three. They lose to the Clippers by five. They lose to the Pistons in overtime. They get blown out by the Wizards. They lose to the Grizzlies by four. They lose to Denver in overtime. They lose to Denver in double overtime. They lose to OKC by five. Like, they can't figure out how to win a close game early in the year. They lose to the Thunder. They go 8-8. Since that day, they are 27-6. 27-6. They've now won six in a row. They've won 9 of 10. We've won 9 of 10. This is awesome. They haven't played much of anyone recently. Like, their big win recently is against Miami. They've played a pretty soft schedule. Frankly, so have we. Like, they got Houston, OKC, Chicago, Atlanta, Charlotte. Atlanta's okay. Toronto was not great this year. They lost to Orlando. Another one-point loss. They beat Miami, who's not quite right, but pretty good. And you'd have to look and see, knowing Miami, who played on that given night, because Miami has just been so injury riddled. And but they had Jimmy that night, and Kendrick, and Bam, and Dunks. That's pretty close pre-trade deadline. They beat the Lakers solidly on a game where the Lakers did not have any of their guys. They lost to Minnesota. They lost to Indiana. But they're great. If you go to January 28th, when they click in, the numbers are even better. Jazz are 11.9 positive. They're 10.3, and no one else is close. We're the second best offense. They're the fourth best. We're the fourth best defense. They're the fifth best. Like, this is great. And this matters, because the number one seed matters. And Phoenix won the first one this year. We'll dig into that one in a minute. But Phoenix won the first one. And so the tiebreak, the Jazz are up 2.5, and there are seven fabulous teams in the Western Conference. Dallas, Portland, Lakers, Denver, Clippers, Phoenix, Utah, five title contenders and two superstars. And maybe Luka makes Dallas a title contender. And I think they'll be at six. I think they'll catch Portland here. They're a game and a half back. We'll see. Portland has not shown the ability to beat a good team yet. They just win great games against not as good teams. But there's seven great teams. And then give Memphis credit. I mean, Memphis has won three in a row. They just keep winning. But we played Memphis, right? We can handle Memphis. Memphis, San Antonio, Golden State, New Orleans, Sacramento are not Dallas, Portland, LA. So the eight seed is mammoth because there's an absolute massive drop from 7 to 8 in the Western Conference. It is also massive because the way the play-in game works this year, 7 plays 8 and the winner advances. Then 9 plays 10 and the winner advances to play the loser of 7-8. So right now, Dallas would play Memphis, beat Memphis. San Antonio would play Golden State. Golden State would probably win. Golden State would play Memphis, and the winner would then play the Jazz. In other words, that team has already played 2 playoff games before traveling to come see you. And if it's a, you know, and if it happens to be an 8 or 9, they've gone to 2 different cities. If it's an 8, 9, or 10, they've already traveled to 2 cities. Would be their 3rd city they're traveling to. And then home court matters, right? If we keep our vaccination rates, we'll see what happens when we pull the mask mandate here. But if we keep things heading in a decent direction, like we've had more fans than most people, I would assume that number would continue to grow. NBA's got to be on board. Everybody's got to be on board. But we had 300 COVID cases. We're like heading in the right direction. So you get home court advantage, and we're really good at home. The second round in the Western Conference is going to be a bloodbath. You just got to make sure your first round isn't. And like I would say, like maybe the greatest way to go make the NBA Finals is if the series are what they are today. So Utah plays Memphis in the first round while Phoenix and Dallas go head-to-head, or Denver and LA play a seven-game series, and you can go jump those teams that have to travel out of there to play you. Maybe you have an advantage on Jazz against Denver, Jazz against Lakers. I don't know who I'm taking. I mean, I'm taking the Jazz, but I mean, let's be honest. The odds makers would put it pretty even. The odds makers clearly would have the Lakers ahead of the Jazz, and Denver would, if they keep doing what they're doing, would be even. But they just go beat each other up for 7 games. Maybe you get the edge. And the Clippers, who are great, and every indicator to me that they're still the best team in the Western Conference. I have a bunch of indicators that still tell me that they're great. That they have the best lineups, the best matchups, the best this and that. But they're still just as good as, they're right up there with us. Probably not the best team, but right up there with us. Like, if they have to open up and play Dallas in the first round, Phoenix in the second round, and then by the time they get to us, like, maybe they're worn out. Maybe Paul George has another playoff injury. Maybe Serge Ibaka, like, the number one seed matters. It really matters. All right, let's talk Devin Booker. That's the huge part of this game. How do the Jazz deal with Devin Booker? Mike Conley is certainly going to start the night guarding Chris Paul. And then Devin Booker, who's a little bigger than Donovan, is likely that matchup unless the Jazz move Royce O'Neal on once again to Devin Booker. Here's the thing about Devin Booker that I think is a misnomer. He's not a shooter. He's a scorer. People think of Devin Booker as a pure shooter, catch and shoot, deadly. He's good, but really what he is a scorer. And he's unbelievable in the mid-range, kind of short zone areas. And Rudy's going to have to come up and play him. Now, hey, if Devin Booker somehow sneaks free for a corner three, duck and take cover. He's 16 to 25 on corner threes this year. But where Devin Booker is unbelievable is that 8 to 15 range. He's over 50% all the way across the board. And then on long twos, he's good. So his game is really this pick and roll pocket game, getting into the lane, being able to find little gaps, and he's able to rise up and shoot and score. He's from 5 to 9 feet, he's 53%. From 10 to 15 feet, he's 50%. From 15 to 19 feet, he's 55%. Really, here's the better number. From 8 to 16 feet, he's 53%. He's a scorer. Rudy's going to have to come out and play at 8 to 16 feet, and then behind him is a massive man in DeAndre Ayton, and that is going to be brutally difficult for the Jazz to deal with. That is going to be brutally difficult for the Jazz tonight. If you look at Devin Booker matchups in the last game against the Jazz, and then we'll look at last year as well. Royce O'Neal guarded and Booker went 6 of 10. Rudy Gobert only ended up being the closest defender on him one time all game. That is not what the Jazz want. But that's what DeAndre Ayton does, is it keeps Gobert actively involved. Last year, Devin Booker, 6 of 11 on O'Neal. So in 2 years, he's 12 of 21 shooting against O'Neal. Joe Ingles last year did a pretty good job against him. He was 2 of 7. Rudy Gobert, not a problem for Devin Booker. He was 6 of 8. So Devin Booker in 2 years as a scorer being guarded by Rudy Gobert is 7 of 10. One of the best numbers I've seen. All right, we'll keep breaking this one down. It is going to be absolutely outstanding. Number one versus number two in the NBA. Massive matchup early in the ballgame. Similar matchups between Conley and Chris Paul, Devin Booker and Donovan Mitchell, DeAndre Ayton, Rudy Gobert, Dario Saric comes off the bench, makes them small, and they spread it out. Joe Ingles is going to have a massive role. Mikal Bridges is a defensive stopper that we don't have. That's their kind of piece. They don't have a Jordan Clarkson. They're really interesting in their shot distribution. We'll touch on that. They're interesting in their depth and length defensively. We'll touch on that. And we have Quinn Snyder Wednesday coming up as well. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai, located at... Oh, wait, today's Wednesday. Today's show is brought to you by Intercap Lending and the great Steve Carter. I love Steve Carter. You know why I love Steve Carter? Because I know I can send you to Steve Carter, and I'm going to get an email back afterwards that says, that was amazing. Steve Carter is our own personal loan officer at Intercap Lending, and he just does amazing work. Intercap Lending has been around for 40 years, one of the largest independent lending companies out there. They're hyper-responsive. They embrace change. They have great borrower experience, and then we have our own personal loan officer for you. His name is Steve Carter. His direct line is 385-885-28. That's 385-885-28. They focus on Utah, and they're expanding, but they can go nationwide. He can help you all around. In fact, my COO of the Lockdown Podcast Network lives in L.A., bought a house in Bend, and Steve Carter did the mortgage for him. Intercap Lending, NMLS number 190465. For more information, visit intercaplending.com. I can read you all the reviews, but let me give you mine. I've gone to Steve Carter twice. I'm a mess and a disaster, and trying to get me to cross T's and dot I's is not my strength. And this guy is just amazing in what he takes care of and how he helps you get it done. Steve Carter, 385-885-28. Steve Carter and Intercap Lending. Today's show is also brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Is it the joy of winning for the Suns and the Jazz? Or is it the joy that brings you winning? Is it the end game winning, or is enjoying the game the end game? Are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? Michelob Ultra is here for you. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. Joy creates success. Enjoyment isn't the end game. It's the whole game. And we'll do our Michelob Ultra Player of the Week after tonight's game, and the Jazz hopefully establish their dominance in the Western Conference with a commanding win in Phoenix against the Suns. It'd be incredible. Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. We'll do the voting tomorrow. But it's Michelob Ultra, 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. Michelob Ultra. Happiness, joy, enjoyment. Locked On Today, your daily podcast, 20 minutes. I got to tell you, everybody I know who listens to Locked On Today loves it. So please add it to your list of shows you're listening to. I think you'll really, really enjoy it. It's Locked On Today. It's a 20-minute recap of kind of everything that's going on in the sports world, and we want you to take it in. All right, Phoenix is really interesting, and this is relates to Devin Booker, and this relates to what has to happen to Rudy, and this is what we got to do tonight with Phoenix with the ball. This is more of a game preview than we like ever do. But Phoenix shot distribution is unique. So Phoenix shot distribution, they are 28th in the league at shots at the rim. They're 29th now. We're 27th. The Clippers are 28th. Dallas is 26th. Isn't that wild? Like the rim, the holy grail of the rim, Four of the better offensive teams in the Western Conference just don't get to the rim. Utah, LA, Phoenix. What we do, though, is we take threes, right? And all these teams take corner threes. Utah takes the most corner threes. The Clippers take the second most. The Suns take the fourth most. What we don't do is take long twos. And what both Clippers and Phoenix do is take long twos. So Phoenix will take 35% of their shots as mid-range shots, and they're making about 50% of them. We're going to turn those shots into threes instead. We're taking 9% more shots as threes. They're taking 9% more shots as mid-range shots. Like, that's the game. We've got, if we can go hit 38, 39, 40% of our three-point shots, there's no way from the mid-range that they can catch us. That's the truth. It's just not a possibility. Against them last time, they only took 18 shots at the rim. They only made 9 of them. They took 33 twos that were non-restricted area twos, and they made 15. They got their 9 corner threes. That's too many. And they took 24 above the break threes, and they hit an unusual amount. They hit 46% of their above the break threes. They had an unbelievable shooting game when they beat us last time. They were 17 of 33 from three, hitting 6 of 9 on corner threes, hitting 11 of 24. But we got the shot distribution we wanted. They had 18 shots at the rim, which is one of the lowest numbers we've allowed all year. 15, I think, is our lowest, or 13 against Denver when they beat us, and 13 against Toronto. So that, and we've been, last few games, we've been pretty good about not allowing those shots. That's what Phoenix does. They get in the mid-range, they take those shots, and the key for us is, one, don't let them suddenly get to the rim. So keep their shot chart as it is. Rudy maintains the middle. Somehow harass Chris Paul and Devin Booker enough so they're not in rhythm and they're not making 60% of those shots. They're going to make 45, 50% of those shots. That's what they do. They're coming up. They're good at it, frankly. So now the question is going to be, you know, how do the Jazz handle that? And that is, we get our threes. How do we get our threes? The way we get our threes is that Phoenix is not good as a transition defensive team. If Phoenix has a weakness out there, it is that they do not cover in transition as well as they should. So the Jazz have got the same exact shots that we had against Dallas. We actually want again here. Early opportunity, push ahead threes against this team. In our last game against them, our offensive rating was a 98.6. It's our second worst offensive game of the year. Our worst was against Brooklyn. They had a pretty good offensive game. We ended up in that game going 12 of 34 from three, not making any other shots. If you look at our shot distribution that game, we got 26 shots at the rim. We shot 61%. We went 7 of 24 on mid-range shots. And then went 12 of 34 from 3. But this was also before we started bombing. This was before we were kind of at the level of the three-point shooting that we're at today. But that's... And so... We've got to keep them from making ridiculous amount of shots. Our shot frequency, if you look at kind of game by game against Phoenix, our three-point shot frequency, that was the sixth fewest amount of three-point shots we've taken in a game all year long last time when we played them, losing at 106-95. We took 37% of our shots from threes. We've only been fewer against Atlanta when they just absolutely committed to not, and took 42% of our shots at the rim. Memphis in one of the games committed. We took all those floaters. Minnesota early in the year. Brooklyn when we were still kind of a mess. And the Clipper game when they committed to just forcing us to get to the rim. So it'll be interesting to see if Phoenix can do that to us again. But that was the sixth lowest number. It's actually, we're right at league average all season long. From a defensive standpoint against them, we've got to force Phoenix, you know, keep them off the rim. In our matchup against them, they only took 21% of their shots at the rim, which is great for us. And they took their threes. They just happened to, you know, they happened to go down. So that'll be a key thing. As I said, Phoenix is not very good in transition. So we're going to get those. In fact, Phoenix ranks 29th in transition defense. So if we can get some stops, get out and run, get in that transition, that's going to be a massively important aspect of this game. The other one that's going to be really interesting to watch, and we are getting granular here, but you don't expect anything else out of this show. We do this every day. We're not always this detailed, but we're here for you every day, hopefully making it better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. If you go back to the substitution patterns of the last time these two teams met, pretty little interesting aspect to this game is that Monty Williams matched DeAndre Ayton to Rudy Gobert. And it worked pretty well. Rudy was -9 for the night, but Ayton was -1. There were a few minutes where they didn't match, or Ayton actually stayed out on the floor for a few extra minutes in the second quarter and then came back and matched. He played more minutes than Rudy did early. In the one sequence where they didn't match, Gobert had some success. It was the end of the third quarter. Rudy had some success. But otherwise, for the most part, they matched Ayton. And so then they matched Dario Saric and Derek Favors together. So let's keep an eye on that tonight, on whether or not the Jazz are able to get that second team unit that have Mike Conley, Joe Ingles, Jordan Clarkson, George Niang, and Rudy Gobert. Now, at that point of the season, we weren't playing that unit in the same way. We were only playing George to open the quarter with that unit. They only played about 5 minutes on the floor together. It wasn't until later in the season when George and that group was playing better, they extended that out and reduced some of Boyan's minutes in that grouping and changed the rotation. So we've that was like the fourth, fifth game of the year. We've changed some of the rotation items since then. All right, that's it. Set up transition offense. In the half court, we've got to deal with the physical presence of Bridges and Crowder. They're long and big. Rudy's going to have to come out and play a little bit higher to affect Booker and Paul without allowing a bunch of shots at the rim. They're not good in transition. Can we get early looks? And be physical. Rudy said it. Dallas hit first. So come out and hit. And we got to have a good shooting night. That's how we live. And they got to not. Like, it's a make or miss league. Let's not forget that, you know, funky little aspect of all of these conversations. Today's show brought to you by betonline.ag. That is the best place to play. Masters is coming up. They've got a really fun thing. If you go to betonline, let's see if I can find this. I found this the other day. I didn't know about this. You go to betonline.ag. And so the first thing is they have Jazz Suns tonight. Suns are 1.5 favorite. Then they have like game props where you can go in and inside of like certain games. So they don't have them up yet for the NBA today. Oh yeah, let's see if I can find it. So you go to here's Utah Phoenix. And it's, so they have the line, they have the over under. Then there's all sorts, I don't understand all these things, but like team to score first, they have a bet. Race to 10 points, race to 20, race to 30. Team to score last, will there be overtime? First shot of the game made, yes or no. First three-point goal, yes or no. First field goal attempt of the game is a three. Well, that's a pretty good, interesting, it depends if we get the, you know. So there's all these fun little ways to stay engaged. Bojan Bogdanovic, they have what his point total are. You can bet on it. Devin Booker +28 is kind of their even number on Booker. Donovan Mitchell's even number seems to be right around 26. So you can play all those things. Points, rebounds, anyone first to score, head-to-head. You can decide whether most points, Chris Paul or Rudy Gobert. Most points, Chris Paul versus Mike Conley. Most points, DeAndre Ayton or Rudy Gobert. kind of fun things. I'm sure there's a Devin Booker, Donovan Mitchell. They have Devin Booker at minus 141 on that. So that's all at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to get a 50% welcome bonus at betonline.ag. Today's show is also brought to you by Built Bar. Coconut Brownie Crunch got named the greatest Built Bar in the world. That's the best tasting protein bar you'll ever have. Go check it out. BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off. As Built Bar with the best tasting candy bar in the market. Candy bar or protein bar, it doesn't matter. They're both the same. They're that good. That's the taste we're talking about. It's Built Bar, mint brownie, salted caramel, coconut almond, all riding high after their Elite Eight performances in the Built Bar bracket. So go grab Built Bar right now. Get three free packets of Built Go with your purchase. And they're doing the $1 million giveaway right now, all at BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. Quinn Snyder Wednesday coming up. How about a story about an assistant coach that won the Jazz a ball game this year? Pretty crazy story as we head to it right now. Remember, LOCKEDON NBA Draft is our newest program. We have it available for you. Go check it out. Get ready for the draft. Know what's going on. And Chad Ford's Big Board had Tony Jones on this week as well. So check that out. All right, let's get to it. Quinn Snyder Wednesday. Here's Quinn talking about an assistant coach's job in this COVID year and how hard it is. But a story inside about one of the coaches winning a ball game for the Utah Jazz.
Our guys put a lot into those scouts, and you know, they take time, and particularly when you're as thorough as we are, whether you're watching five previous games or you're going back further and trying to watch a team that you feel maybe will defend similar to the way we do. And, you know, just a lot of long nights. And also with all the DAV guys, the guys in the video room that are partner with them, and you know, each report or each preparation for each game, usually there's three guys involved, and someone has the point on it. But it's a lot of work, and but it's something that pays off. You know, a few nights ago, there was a play at the end of the Memphis game, and Chris Jones had watched there. We created a 2-minute tape of all the things that a team will do in the last 2 minutes of a game, and he had on the iPad the exact clip of the play that they ran. And you can't get it right all the time. But those types of things are huge. And, you know, it doesn't always come up. But in this case, you know, you're able to show the players at least an idea of what you think they might do. And that's as good as anything if you can try to predict. So just little things like that where there's countless hours that go into it. And sometimes it's, sometimes you have, you know, different guy plays or different guy doesn't play, and you have to adjust, which is one of the biggest things this year is you go into games preparing for one lineup and then you see a different lineup. And sometimes those guys that aren't playing, you know, are pivotal points to what you're doing. We prepared for Brooklyn. It was a lot of James Harden, and he didn't play. So you could probably argue you're better when James Harden isn't on the court. But regardless, as you said, it's – you know, the preparation is impactful and, you know, I won't say exhausting, but that's because I don't want to be that dramatic, but it's a lot of work.
Tip of the hat to the Chris Jones, some of those guys working hard in the development coaching program, doing great film work and getting a shout out there for pulling the play against Memphis. The other thing I asked Quinn this week, and it was right after the plane scare and all that, but I asked him what he was most proud of about his team.
Wow, that's hard. I think, you know, when the season moves as quickly as it does, you know, you don't really have time to reflect. You just, you know, the first thing that comes to my head is maybe, you know, their ability to handle adversity, because I think what we experienced as a team, you know, these last few days was, you know, I don't know it can be any more adversity than that. But I think there's, you know, when I reflect on it at some point, there'll be a lot of things. And, you know, a lot of them, even though you think about the team, are probably connected what individual guys have done, you know, and obviously all of that, you know, points to the team because, you know, that's how it's all reflected. But there's just a lot of guys that have really given, you know, given a lot. And some of it in terms of sacrifice, some of it in terms of development. But this group has gotten better too. So I, you know, it's hard for me to answer that in one thing, but that's the best I can do.
And finally, with Quinn this week, I tried to delve into the impossible once again, discussing how great Rudy Gobert is, this time largely about his pick and roll play. The fact he's the number one pick and roll defender, he's the number three offensive pick and roll player, pretty important tonight against Phoenix. Here's what Quinn had to say.
Well, he's pretty good in pick and roll. And, you know, we try to involve him in pick and roll in a number of different situations, different locations on the court. Obviously, we have different pick and roll ball handlers, really primarily with Joe, Mike, and Donovan. And, you know, whether it's in transition, whether he's changing angles on screens, you know, it's something, there's a connection that he has with the ball handlers. It's something that's developed over time, and certainly it's very effective.
All right, that's Quinn Snyder Wednesday. Jazz Suns, 1-2, massive matchup, super fun. Postcast coming after the game. I might even try Twitter Spaces today, so keep an eye on that. Might pop that out some point today. Big day. Hope everyone's having a great one. We'll enjoy it. Right now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of podcast Locked On Today.